The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Nonprofit Notebook with Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. I am Janice Valentino, your host. I hope everyone is well. What a beautiful day it is. We have so much to look forward to in this season and beyond. And I wish everyone a wonderful spring and enjoy what the Lord has to offer us. Today we have Toni Ann Mata as our guest. Toni Ann is our lead nurse practitioner at Hospice. And Toni Ann is really a wealth of knowledge. And so I want to get her on right away. So I am going to introduce her immediately. Toni Ann, are you there?
Hi, Janice. It's me, Toni Ann.
How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. It is a beautiful day.
It is. It's so beautiful. And I'm so happy to have you on. Did you happen to hear the commercial? Did you hear the commercial that was on before you came?
I did.
The Dear Hospice? That's a wonderful commercial.
It is. It's beautiful sentiments from the families that we are so fortunate to work with.
Absolutely. That's my favorite commercial, and we call it our Dear Hospice commercial. So we thank everyone who participated in really talking about their own private experiences. So that's a favorite. So at any rate, Toni Ann, I mentioned that you are our lead nurse practitioner for Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties.
Yes, I am. I am, gosh, Janice, I am so, so grateful in this role that I work with Hospice of Orange and Sullivan. I work not only with our hospice patients, but I work with the entire hospice care team, right? I work with the bedside nurses to our medical director and with the executive team as well. So I feel like I'm able to branch out and touch as many lives as possible, and I just love it.
Absolutely, and you do reach out, and you do reach out to many, many patients and families, and we're going to continue to talk about the opportunity to hopefully reach out to even more families that we know need us in the counties that we serve, which is Orange and Sullivan. Just want to let everybody who is listening know that they're listening to us on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. And if you want to call in with a question, please feel free. The number is 651-1110, or you can text your question in, and I have to say most people enjoy doing that. So the text is 845-328-0886. So please, if you have a question during this next half hour and you would like to ask it as we're discussing with Toni Ann a lot of important information, please do so. Toni Ann, one of the things that I would like you to address, and some people will understand if they have tried to get hospice for a loved one, but there is something that we call hospice appropriate. Can you touch a little bit on that as to what makes a patient hospice appropriate?
Absolutely. And you know, I have to start out by saying it's a very sad truth that unfortunately a lot of people wait too long before initiating hospice care,
yes.
Regardless of where that care is initiated. But when we talk about appropriateness, it's really about communication and conversation. Although we know that conversation can be difficult to have, it really starts with that patient and their primary provider. Is it the right time? Is it not the right time? Opening that conversation, most important. So one of the more common themes that I hear is from a patient or a patient's family member is, I just want to concentrate on my quality of life rather than the quantity of time I have remaining. You know, it's important because sometimes the conversation doesn't start with the patient themselves. Sometimes it starts with their family member. Sometimes the family member begins to notice changes. Perhaps their loved one is having increased difficulty with self-care. What does that mean? Maybe the patient's mother or father or grandmother or grandparent is having difficulty walking or doing chores around their home. Maybe difficulty with bathing or getting themselves dressed. Or perchance, other things I've seen is a patient or a family member or friend notices symptoms that are not managed well. Symptoms like severe pain or shortness of breath. Others can show hopelessness or increased fatigue, that profound fatigue. You know, I would get the call sometimes saying, you know what, I don't know what's happening, but Dad doesn't seem to want to do anything. Dad doesn't want to, he's not eating well. He's sleeping all the time.
Right.
So
right.
What happens then is that conversation is had and the topic of eligibility for hospice comes up. And your question was, you know, what does that mean? And it has to do with a person's life expectancy. People can have serious illness, and their life expectancy is years. We do curative treatments.
Right, exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. But then we have others that may have a serious illness, and their life expectancy falls in and around 6 months. It can be difficult to determine, of course.
Yes.
But it's those people that are eligible for hospice care.
Right. And it's important for our listeners to know that it's very important to have the discussion with your loved ones, with your family, about end-of-life decisions. Nobody really wants to talk about that, although I think more and more people are more open to it now, but it's still something very, very hard to talk about. And just to let everybody know, April 16th, actually, which is coming up, is National Healthcare Decision Day. And that is where we're trying to get people to understand that it's time. You need to have the talk with your family about what you would like at the end of life, what you would like and what you wouldn't like. We have actually on our website, if you go to hospiceoforange.com and go to our menu on the side, you will see community resources. And if you click that on, you will get a page that will have all kinds of information on there to help start that conversation with your loved one. Little things and little ideas to start it. There's also our healthcare proxies on there and other valuable information. So we're really talking about something that really is very important right now, especially with National Healthcare Decision coming upon us.
That's a wonderful thing, Janice, that you added. You're absolutely right. April 16th, National Healthcare Decision Day.
Yes.
Oh, for people to have anyone over the age of 18 should have a healthcare proxy. And I just want to reiterate, you know, a healthcare proxy is when you have a discussion with someone and you say, this is what I want. Can you make this decision for me?
Right, right.
And that person has to be able to say, yes, I can. I will honor those decisions. We did a presentation on National Healthcare Day, or Decision Day, excuse me. And we likened it to Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Because ultimately, someone, you pick a few people in your mind who might be that healthcare proxy for you, who will make decisions for you if you were unable. But you must make sure that that person is the right fit. Because someone may be too hot, or someone may be too cold. You need to find the right fit.
Right, that is true, to make sure that they are going to honor what it is that you want, and not allow their own feelings to prevent that. And in speaking about that, many times we see, and I know you see it, where you will have a family that has a parent who is ready for hospice. They are hospice appropriate. They have the opportunity to come on to our services and have a better quality of life, where they would get the care and the comfort that they need along with the family. But you'll have two different sides depending on the siblings. You know, one will say, no, I don't think mom or dad is ready for that. And the other will say, no, I think mom and dad is ready for that. And a lot of that will cause a lot of time to be wasted, where their loved one is not getting the quality of life care that we certainly provide.
Yes, that's exactly right. You're exactly right, Janice. It's really about what the person wants, what that patient wants. What is it that they desire? What are their choices? And are we able to honor them?
Yes, exactly. Well, what we're going to do, Tony, is we're going to come back right after this break, and we're going to talk about palliative care versus hospice care.
Dear hospice family, my husband was given less than 6 months, and he was able to be here for 10 and a half months. I think that was because of the care that was given to him by hospice.
Dear hospice of Orange and Sullivan County, my family is so grateful for the care that hospice provided at the end of mom's life.
I write this letter to give my thanks and gratitude to the people of hospice who were so understanding and caring in my family's time of need.
The Kaplan Family Hospice residence, it was like a breath of fresh air.
I know that God sent these wonderful people to us.
It was one of the best decisions we had ever made.
I think it lengthened his time on earth.
Call Hospice of Orange and Sullivan, providing generations of care in your community. There are others. Make sure to ask for us by name. Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties, your choice. Does matter.
I'd just like people to find out about hospice while there was still time.
Hospice is a plan for living.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon for the latest legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions. That's every Tuesday at 12 noon on Radio Worth Listening to.
WTVQ.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to The Nonprofit Notebook with Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. I'm Janice Valentino, your host. Please know if you have a question about hospice care, we have Tony Ann Mata, our lead nurse practitioner, on the line with us. You can give us a call at 845-651-1110, or you can text us at 845-328-0886. Tony Ann.
Yes. Hi, Janet.
Hi. Welcome back, and thank you again for being on with me today. Want to talk about, in the last part of our show, it goes very, very fast, palliative care versus hospice care. That is something that I really want to talk about, because there are there's a lot of discrepancies, and there's a lot of time that people don't understand the difference between palliative care and hospice care. So if we can just touch upon that a little bit, and then we want to talk about something very, very important, and that is the Medicare benefit that people need to know about.
So, you know, you have, and first of all, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for opening this discussion for our listeners. I am certified palliative and hospice care nurse practitioner. So palliative care is my, palliative care and hospice are my loves. This is a patient population that I just love to work with. But there's a difference between palliative care and hospice care. So the easiest way I can say it is that palliative care is for any person with any type of serious illness, regardless of their life expectancy. And palliative care is ideally initiated at the diagnosis of that serious illness. What I mean by serious illness, something long-term, something chronic, something that may come with symptoms. Palliative care patients are typically patients who have suffered a stroke, who may have cardiac disease, who may have cancer. They may have pulmonary disease, COPD, emphysema. But these are people who maybe at the beginning of their diagnosis, palliative care team is brought in to help manage symptoms. But palliative care patients are given symptom management with curative treatments, certain medications, certain treatment modalities. Hospice patients typically have a life expectancy of less than 6 months. And we said before, that can be difficult to determine
right.
at times.
Right.
But really it comes from that person, that patient, because they may say to you, I'm tired. I want to focus on my symptoms. I want to focus on my quality right now. And truth be told, and Diane Myers, Dr. Meyer from Mount Sinai, she is a huge proponent. She has said before, hospice is not a one-way street, meaning that if you come, you know, you say, okay, I'm a palliative care patient, I'm undergoing cancer treatments, for example, I'm tired. My doctor said, you know what, maybe I'm not tolerating the treatments as well as can be any longer. And I go on to hospice, and maybe in hospice care, I get a little bit better. I get a little bit more energy. I'm a little bit more relaxed. I'm feeling okay enough to say, you know what? I'm going to stop hospice, and I'm going to go back to see if I can maybe resume my curative treatments, maybe resume my chemotherapy. Maybe there's something else I can try, something new, experimental.
Right.
Knowing that we can always come back to hospice.
That's a very, very good point, Tony Ann, and it's important for a lot of cancer patients out there to know this, because there are times I am aware that while they're going through treatment, sometimes it turns out that, like you said, maybe the treatment isn't doing what it was originally anticipated to do, and maybe they need a little break. Maybe they need to just get a little stronger. Hospice care really is patient-centered, and it really is about having the patient have the best quality of life that they can have. And oftentimes, it can help someone have a little bit of a longer life. When that care is really concentrated on their needs and on their quality, and it also for the family as well, and that's something that palliative care really does not do as much as hospice care. Hospice care is for the patient and for the family.
Absolutely, patient and family centered.
Yes,
by the entire hospice team, not only your physician or your provider, but also the nursing teams and the social work team and the spiritual care team.
Absolutely.
Hospice services, you're getting expert pain and symptom management. You're getting medical and personal care, grief support, emotional, spiritual support. You're getting necessary medications, equipment, a hospital bed if you so desire.
Yes, yes.
24-hour telephone. I mean, we even help with guidance on funeral arrangements and
yes.
education to the family, right? So they can provide expert care in the home as well. You know, just that little bit of a breath.
Absolutely.
A little bit of you can do this. It's hard, but in the end, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. Absolutely. And that's what we do with our interdisciplinary teams, right? When you come onto hospice services, you get a team with you. You don't just get one person. You get a team. And that team approach is what is able to carry not only the patient, but the entire family.
Yes, I have to say the collaboration of Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties is exceptional.
It is. It is exceptional. And it's important for people to know that at this time, there are other hospices out there that are coming into Orange County. But it's important that our listeners know that Hospice of Orange and Sullivan is the hospice that has been here for 33 years. And we have been taking care of our families and patients in Orange and Sullivan. We are taking care of our neighbors. We're taking care of each other, of our community. So it's important that if hospice care is something that you are interested or you want to take a look at, please know that you need to ask for us by name and that your choice does make a difference. So it's important for people to know that, and they can go to our website, hospiceoforange.com, or they can call 561-6111 and they can speak to a hospice a specialist who can guide them into exactly what it is that they need to know.
Wonderful.
One of the things that I want to touch upon in the last few minutes of the show is something called the Medicare benefit. We talk about that a lot, but really to explain what that Medicare benefit is, and important for people to know that it really is meant to be used, and many, many people don't do that.
No, you're right, Janice. Unfortunately, many people don't. You know, just briefly, I will tell you that hospice is way underutilized in New York State as well. And I really want to see that, you know, come up, approach us and talk to us. Here's the thing with Medicare. Hospice has been covered by Medicare since 1982.
Yes.
It's a long time, and it's underutilized. Maybe people don't know, right? So a patient's healthcare provider, whether they see, and it has to be a physician, because it is a physician that must certify that a patient is terminally ill. It's one thing that I cannot do as a nurse practitioner. But that terminally ill, what does that mean? It means that that person's life expectancy is less than 6 months or 6 months. Once a person elects hospice care, they sign a statement choosing hospice care, and Medicare covers to treat that terminal illness and those related conditions.
Right.
So coverage could include your symptom management prescriptions, your medical, nursing, social services, it's your pain management, it's your durable medical equipment, that's your hospital bed, an overbed table, a commode, things to make your life easier. And that's what the Medicare benefit is for. It will cover your cost of hospice care.
Now,
it will typically cover the cost of your hospice care in the home, There are many other discussions that we could have about other insurances and Medicaid and private insurance and things like that, but I would keep you for a whole other hour.
Yes, and we may have to certainly look into speaking about those other things as well. But like you said, Medicare covers 100% of hospice care when that care is given in the home. And I don't know exactly what the percentage is, but I know it's very high. If it's 85 to 90% of the care that we provide is primarily in the home. That's where people want to be at the end of life. And so most of the care that we provide is directly in the home. And if it's not in their home, they and they live in the nursing home, that is another place that we also provide hospice care. So it's important that our community know this information. There's many times as well that if a loved one needs to be on hospice care, sometimes their child or another family will take them in, and they will now live in a home with their loved one, and they will receive hospice care there. So it's very important to know that there are many options.
Yes, and not to forget the Kaplan Hospice Family Residence in Newburgh. It's another avenue for care within hospice.
It is. It is. Well, we're going to have to close it up, but I just would like to say to remember that Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties is here for you.